we're doing the sugya of what's called Hol Mistaklin Ba, which the Gemara in Megillah in the bottom Daf Beis Amar Aleph tells us that Bizman Hazeh, even though the Mishnah tells us that there are a few days a person is allowed to read, if you come from the Kfar, you could read on Yud Aleph, Yud Beis, Yud Gimel, and of course Yud Dalet and Tesvav, the Gemara says Bizman Hazeh, nowadays the practice is that we do not allow one to read earlier, only on Yud Dalet or Tesvav. And the Gemara says this reasoning is that Hol Vit Mistaklin Ba Ein Karunosa El Bizmana. Since they look to it literally, you only read it in the right time, only on your Dalet and Tezvav. So what does this mean, Hol Mistaklin Ba? And there are three basic explanations that's found in the Rishonim, what it means, Hol Mistaklin Ba, since they look upon this day, you're only allowed to read it Bizmana. So the first pshat is Rashi. We're not going to focus on Rashi, but Rashi just says, to tell you a shita, he says the reason is because nowadays, since the Shluchei Bezdin wouldn't reach the various places throughout the world, so people will look to Purim as a guideline to when Pesach would be. So Purim is one day, so they calculate 30 days later is going to be Pesach, and if they start switching up which day, it's going to be leaning on Yud Aleph or Yud Beis, Yud Gimel, they're going to miscalculate when Pesach is, and then that's not so problematic, they'll miss the mitzvah, but at the end, when they think Pesach is over, Pesach is really not over, and that's going to cause people to eat chametz, which is an iser karis. And that's Shitas Rashi, it's a concern of the calculations of when Pesach is. There's a Ritvan Meiri which talks about this, but again, I'm not going to focus on that. Second opinion is found in the Rif. And this is going to be the focus of the Shir. We're going to hopefully get to the third Pshat in the end. But the core of the Shir is going to be the Shitas HaRif. So if you look inside number three, the Rif says, Hol Mistaklin Ba is referring to Veineim Shel Aniyim Nesuas L'Mikra Megillah. The Aniyim are looking forward to Megillah. As we all know, the Aniyim start coming around Purim time. That's a big day for them to collect money. So they anticipate the day of Megillah, Kedei She'chalik Lehem Maos Purim, in order that they should be able to collect their money. Ein Karunasa Ela Bizmana. And therefore, you only read in the right time. Has to do something with the Aniyim. So Rif doesn't explain the great details, but somehow it's confusing them which is the right day to collect the money. So we're going to elaborate on this opinion, but the general understanding of the Rif is that Hol Mistaklin Ba refers to that Aniyim. They're looking forward to Mikra Megillah into collecting their money in Matanos Lavyonim, and somehow they're being thrown off by the change of date. So the question is, why is that different than any other time? Why, in the olden times, when they were allowed to do 11th, 12th, and 13th, shouldn't that also throw them off? The Aniyim are always looking forward to Mikra Megillah of Matanos Lavyonim. So what's different in Bizman Hazeh that suddenly they only collect money on the Bizmana, but if it's 11th, 12th, or 13th, that would be throwing them off. So this is the Rif Shita, though. So we're going to explain what the Rif means, and it's a big machlokas in Baal Maor and the Ravid, which we have to look inside very carefully because there's a very nuanced difference between the Baal Maor and the Ravid, which is going to create a massive machlokas and afkamina into the nature of Matanos Lavyonim. So look what the Baal Maor asks on the Rif. So again, the Rif says that Matanos Lavyonim is the concern of why we have Mikra Megillah only Bizman Hazeh. So the Baal Maor number four, he asks a question from a Gemara later on in the Masechta. He says, reading just the bold, the Kashelon, Al Hadin Perusha, on this Perush, Hod de Amrinan, later on we're going to see in the Gemara, the Kaman Be Gemara, Hol of the Amru Kfarm Makdimim L'Yom HaKnisa, the Kfarm, who read on an earlier day, if need be, on Monday or Thursday, Govin Bo Bayom. The Aniyim would collect on that earlier day. Umichalkin Bo Bayom. And then the Gabayim would give out money on that very day. Mipne, the reason is, She'eneim Shel Aniyim Nusus L'Mikra Megillah. Because the eyes of the Aniyim are looking forward to the Mikra Megillah. So according to the Rif, who cares if you change the date of the Mikra Megillah? Aniyim of that town, of that village, are always going to be looking on the date when they're going to lane. So if they lane on the 11th, so they'll go to the 11th. They lane on the 12th, they'll go to the Mikra on the 12th. And they go on the 14th, they'll lane on the 14th. So why does it make a difference of when they're changing the date? Either way, the Aniyim know to look on the calendar when Purim is that year. So what's being thrown off? Why is it different, Bizman Hazeh, to say that they're not allowed to lane anymore earlier?
If you're not Mahar, it's going to be stuck.
No, because...
What about if you're in a town that doesn't have enough Yidden?
If there's not enough Yidden...
So you don't know.
No, so then you go to... You find out when the when that Kfar is laning. You find out the Yom HaKnisa. And then you go to the big city when they're going to be laning. So you... I mean, you're...
Maybe you don't know, though. I mean, it's, you know, they're so... far? Who knows?
It could be. You know, some David saying that Am Haaretz doesn't know. They thought that they learned in yeshiva that the 14th is Purim. We never learned that there's other days. So he didn't learn since yeshiva. So he gets thrown off. It could be that. You're saying he's in a village that's in the middle of nowhere and no one gets the updates. Could be that. But the Ba'amor wasn't comfortable with that. He assumed when Aniyim want to find money, they'll find out when to get the money. And therefore, the Ba'amor gives another suggestion as to why.
It seems to be true. They know what time davening is better than everything.
They know. There's a whole system. They have the whole system down pat. Listen, this is their business. I ain't down to that. But those who need it, they have to do what they can. So, what's pshat? What is the Ba'amor's pshat into why the Aniyim are looking forward to Mikra Megillah? And that should be a reason to no longer allow it to be read earlier on the 11th, 12th, or 13th. So the Ba'amor said something very important, which is this shita of the Ba'amor, as we'll see later, is actually brought down l'halacha by the Ber Halacha. So what the Ba'amor answers is as follows. Read very carefully. I'm reading in the bold the second paragraph of the Ba'amor. Iya hivinon luhu matanos biyud aleph ubiyud beivs ubiyud gimel. If you give the money to them earlier, what's going to happen is azli v'achli luhu biyom hahu. They're going to use that money on the day they receive it, and v'simchas perm einin oheges ela bizmana hu batla la simcha. And they're going to receive it on the 11th. They're going to go out to the store, buy it, eat it, feed the family. And by the time Yudalid Adar comes, Purim comes, they're going to have nothing left to eat and to enjoy, so they're not going to accomplish the mitzvah of Simchas Purim. And you've lost out your mitzvah. They're going to use it. They don't have enough money to last for a few days. With what? With Maos Chitim?
We try to make sure that they have money way before Pesach so they can afford what to buy before Pesach.
The there's a special dinner. You're talking about Maos Chitim or just general tzedakah? So Maos Chitim, so this could be a concern as well. But
according to this, it would almost sound like it'd be better to give food to
them. We'll discuss that. We'll discuss buying food versus money. That's going to be a discussion based on this. But let's just keep it in the world of Matanos Lev Yonim right now. You see clearly from the Baal Mor, the goal of Matanos Lev Yonim is to provide them with food.
For Purim.
Or at least money to buy food. And if you give it to them a few days earlier, they're not going to have the self-control, or perhaps they don't have the means to able to keep that money over. So what's very key in the Baal Mor is the understanding of Matanos Lev Yonim is to fulfill the Simcha and Suda Purim. That's what the purpose, that's the nature of Matanos Lev Yonim, for Tzarche Suda. Now, the Ravid says, slightly differently, and then we're going to compare the two or contrast the two. The Ravid says in number 5. Bizman Hazeh, he explains also, he's explaining within the world of the Rif. Of why, yeah, Steve.
But isn't typically the Suda on the same day you read Megillah?
So he quotes the Gemara, that although the Kfarim would be reading earlier on Yud Aleph, let's say, they wouldn't eat the Suda into, because they couldn't lane, they had no one to lane in their Kfar, so they'd go to the big cities. So that part, they have a Heter. But in terms of the Suda, they could eat at home, that would be eaten on the right day. So they get the money 3 days earlier, and then by the time the Suda comes around, nothing left. Exactly.
Exactly.
Bizman Hazeh, yeah. Right, no, so we're saying Bizman Hazeh, there is no longer Yom HaKnisa, because had there been
right.
Yom HaKnisa Bizman Hazeh, the Aniyim would eat their use their money up before Purim.
Sure.
That's what he's saying. Back then, he says, supposedly the Aniyim weren't so bad, and they'd be able to hold on to their money earlier for a few days till they got to Purim. But nowadays, since poverty is so bad, apparently, so if you give it to them a few days earlier, they won't have the money left over for Purim. And therefore, they wouldn't be able to fulfill the mitzvah of Suda's Purim. What was that, Morty?
It's different now. Now people are not thought. I mean, I'm not saying there's cases, but people seem to have food. Like, they're not going to use their money the second they get that day. They're going to make a lot and get food.
Okay, so nowadays, you're saying maybe it should revert back to the original halacha, where people can hold on to the money for a few extra days.
I'm following me between that. People, you get they need the money for Suda, but people have families, and they need the money only on that day. They got things going on. People really need the money in advance.
Like right.
Fred
so
said with Miles Fleet,
yes.
It's not fair to have people get. It's not to me. It's a bigger mistake. Get them prepared in advance. Not have to wait for the day.
That's what right. That yeah. was my original question.
Right. So we'll see. We'll see later on the Klosenberger. He actually talks about this. If it's really for the Tzarchei Suda, it's beneficial for them to have it a few days earlier,
right.
So that they should prepare. But just reading the Ba'amor as face value, his concern is that they're not going to have enough money for the Suda. Yeah.
So more than just one mitzvah here going on as far as just giving money to Rahim. That's one thing. Because you would think also what goes on, in, at least in our neighborhood, a lot of people are not necessarily, you would almost think that you shouldn't give, or I shouldn't say should, it's preferred to give to people who are going to use it for Purim, as opposed to giving it to the guys that come around for the collecting for Eretz Yisrael, because there's no way they're going to use it for Simchas Purim.
Correct. According to the Baal Mora, the nature of Matanos of Yonim is specifically for the purpose of the Suda Purim, that's all. And therefore, the closer the Purim is, the better. This way it guarantees they're using it for the purpose of Purim. But now look at the Raavad.
Not those guys that right. are
correct.
That are flying back there.
Correct.
Right. Yeah.
So fine. Wait. But let's look at the Raavad now. The Raavad's going to have a different perspective, which might explain all the other people going around collecting. The Raavad says in number 5, in the, reading the bold, Bizman hazeh shanosin muatim, that the givers are very little. Not so many people are wealthy anymore, or at least people are more stingy. And vaniim merubim, and there are many aniim. Vamatanos muatos, and the gifts that are being given are very small amounts. Kishain koronos abizmana, when it's not read in the right time, when the Megillah is not read in the right day, umechalkin baba yom, and it's not given that very day. Ein simchas hayom aleihem. So the word aleihem, again, unclear, I'll tell you how I interpret it. The simcha is not upon them. Who is the them? Muatos. And therefore the gifts are going to be left. So I think here, the way you read Simchas Aleihem, the Simcha is not on the givers. You know, when you're really happy, remember I had this story once, I went to a dinner for a yeshiva in the city, and I was in YU at the time, I went down to Midtown, Hakotel and the Tivarina, had this big dinner in the city, and I was on a Rav Neventhal, I was on this big high, and I'm walking back to Subway, and somebody comes over to me and says, I lost my wallet, and I got conned into giving that guy like $150 for a drink. I wanted to give him an opportunity for tzedakah. He's a frum guy, and then he took my number down. He was going to call me back and pay me back. I trusted the guy. I'm a stupid 21-year-old thinking I'm the big high. So when you're in a big high, you have all the simcha, you want to give a lot of money out. So what I think the Ravid's saying is, when you're reading the Megillah on the 11th, and it's not Purim yet, you're not on that high. You don't have that simcha yet. So you're not as giving. You're not as generous. So therefore, ein simchas hayom aleihem. The simcha is not upon the ashirim, the wealthy people, and therefore matnosei muatos, and the gifts you're giving are very small. V'ein einayim shel aniim tulios leba atanos yafos ela biyudalu v'tesvav. So the aniim are only looking forward; they're anticipating the bigger gifts. Those are the ones being given on Yom Tov itself, on Purim itself. Lefikach, therefore, ein govenas ela bezmano. So it's important here for the Raavad. So the idea of simcha is not that the matanos levyonim, it doesn't there to bring simcha, it's not there to bring the suda. Happens to be the simcha, when the simcha is on the giver, then the gifts are going to be greater. So what the Raavad, I think the Raavad's understanding is that matanos levyonim is a type of tzedakah, a general tzedakah that's supposed to be given on Purim. Nothing to do with the Purim, nothing to do at all with the suda. As opposed to the Baal Maor, the purpose of Matanos Levyonim was to help Simcha, to help for the Suda. Very, very, very focused, a very narrow purpose. But according to the Raavad, it's a type of tzedakah that happens to be given on Purim itself, and then in the Purim, because that's when people are more giving on Purim. And that's what we see, people are more giving. But not because it has anything to do with it providing for the Suda. According to this, we could understand then why all the people come around from yeshivas all over the world to collect, because this is a time when people are very giving because they're very happy.
But it has nothing to do with the suda. So how are they going to prepare for a suda if they're in the middle of the day getting their money?
Exactly. That's exactly the point.
Gemara doesn't say it's aniyim, does it? The Gemara
doesn't. Gemara is ambiguous. It just says, hol mistaklin ba. Since they are looking, who's the they? So Rashi says they is everyone. It's referring to calculating Purim to Pesach. But according to the Rif, no, that they are the aniyim. And it's based on the Gemara uses a similar terminology later on about the aneim shel aniyim are nesuos. The Gemara says in Daf Dalad. The eyes of the aniyim are looking forward. So mistaklin ba is a very similar terminology of looking forward towards. So therefore, they interpret it to be the aniyim are looking forward to the kriyas megillah. So again, according to the Raavad, it's a type of tzedakah. And according to the Baal Mor, it's a type of simchas purim. That's the machlokas here. And there are nafkamina, whether it's a din of simcha or a din of tzedakah. So in this beautiful sefer of Shalmei Toldu, I've used, I think, the last couple shirim He says, there's a Ritva in Megillah Daf Zayin, which I didn't put in the Mamre Kamos. He clearly says that Matanos Lev Yonim is not Midin Tzedakah. He says that they're Midin Simcha. It's Midin Simcha. That's how he categorizes it. Midin Simcha, very clear Ritva. He says it here. He also says this in Baba Metziah somewhere. And therefore, a Nafka Mina is, would an Ani be obligated to be involved in this mitzvah of Matanos Lev Yonim? So the Bach says that an Ani, even an Ani who accepts money on his own, would have to partake in the mitzvah. But according to others, the others hold that the Pri Chadosh hold that an Ani does not need to participate in such a mitzvah. So what's the machlokas whether they would or would not have to participate in the mitzvah of Matanos Lev Yonim? So if it's simcha, then what?
Tzedakah, or if it's for the simcha,
yeah. So if it's simcha, then what?
They need to, right.
They have to. Simcha, they're chayiv and shalach maros, which is a mitzvah of simcha. They're chayiv and the simcha of matanos lev yonim. But if it's mitin tzedakah, so an ani only has to, according to the Gemara Bava Basra, an ani has to give just a shlish of a shekel of tzedakah for the entire year. If you give a few dollars, you're yotzei chayiv for the entire year. Yeah, you could give more, and you should give more if you can. But an ani, if ani mamish has nothing, he should still make sure to give a third of a shekel each year. So according to that, there should be no further obligation of matanos lev yonim if it's midin tzedakah. Tzedakah is a shlish shekel. So the Pri Chadosh who holds an ani doesn't have to give matanos lev yonim assumes that matanos lev yonim is midin tzedakah. But according to the Bach who holds an ani does need to participate, he holds it midin simcha, and ani is chayiv, of course, in the simcha of perm. There's a very subtle, not subtle, but you have to be looking for this. A machlokas, we know that the halach is when we say Shechianu Bayom, or Sephardim Balaila, that when you say Shechianu, you should have in mind the mitzvahs of the day. The Sephardim don't say Shechianu during the daytime, they only say Balaila, so they have everything in mind Balaila. We say Bayom even, so you should have everything in mind Bayom. So what should you have in mind? So the Magen Avraham says, when you say Shechianu, have in mind the Mishloach Manos and Sudas Purim. But he leaves out Matanos Lev Yonim. But the Prima Gadim says, and the Chai Adam and others say, no, you have to have in mind the Shechianu is going to be on the Matanos Lev Yonim as well. So what's this machlokas, whether or not Shechianu is going to be on Matanos Lev Yonim or not?
Simcha.
Right. So if it's Midin Simcha, so this is a unique mitzvah. We have this once a year. So then you should have to have a Shechianu in mind for Matanos Lev Yonim. But if Matanos Lev Yonim is simply another type of tzedakah, well, we have a mitzvah tzedakah every single day. And this does not become unique. Yes, it's a tzedakah on today, but it's not a unique mitzvah. It's under the rubric of tzedakah in general. And therefore, it doesn't warrant a mitzvah bracha of Shechianu. Okay. Another afternoon, which Ben was referring to, is what type of items could you give for Matanos Lev Yonim? So we typically give money. Could you be Yotze if you give food, if you give begadim? So if it's about Simcha, particularly the Simcha for the Suda, so then money and food should work, and clothing should not work. If the mitzvah is made in tzedakah, so everything should work. Money could work, food should work, and begadim should work, everything should work. So it all goes back to this machlokas, whether or not it's midin simcha or midin tzedakah, and that I think is really what's at the root. I didn't see anybody address it, but I think that's what the Baal Mor and the Ravid in a very subtle way. I think that's what they're debating here, the nature of matanos lev yonim. Okay, look what the Rambam writes in number 6 now. Rambam number 6 writes in Hilchos Megillah, he says that b'nei kfarim shekidmu v'karu b'sheinu o b'chamishi. The people living in the village, if they read on the earlier day, these are Thursdays, im chilku maos la'ev yonim, if they divide up the money to the poor people, b'yom kriyasan yatsu the yotze, aval simcha v'mishte einosin asa ela b'yom arbasar. So you see the Rambam, he writes that you be yotze the mitzvah, even b'zman hazeh, he goes against the Gemara, b'di'evet, if one gave out the maos earlier, he'd be yotze. But still the simcha is upon them later on. So why is that? So it's clear from the Rambam again, I think the Rambam holds that the point is, it's supposed to be about gifts. If it's about simcha, so shouldn't the Rambam be concerned of the Baal Mor, that if you give the money earlier, they're going to use the money up earlier? But if it's about the Ravid, that it's a mitzvah of tzedakah, that you're supposed to give around Purim time, so you should be able to yotze the mitzvah even a few days beforehand, you should be yotze as well. I think that's how the Achronim explained the Rambam, that's midin tzedakah. Let's get to halacha l'maisa now. The Be'er Lacha writes in number 7 here.
So,
yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I know we are saying, but is it not a form of tzedakah? Meaning, Matanos Rav Yonim is not, might be a special form of tzedakah, but it's not also in the category of tzedakah, even if you say it's ad simcha. In other words, it's tzedakah specifically for the purpose. You have to be discerning about how.
Correct.
Usually with tzedakah, you don't have. It's not your responsibility to keep track of how they're going to use it. It's just your responsibility to give. And you have this chus of giving tzedakah because you gave it with the right intentions. It sounds like when it comes to Matanos Lev Yonim, it's more. You have to be more discerning about who you're giving it to as well, and how it's going to be used. But it's not in the same. Not under the same bucket
of tzedakah. So that's the point. If it's very focused on the suda, and anim are chayv to give it as well, that seems to remove it from that category of tzedakah.
But anim are not required to give some level of tzedakah also?
So that's what I was saying before, that anim only have to give a shlish shekel the entire year, which is a very small amount of money.
But it's still...
That's all. So we can be mechayv them to pay on top of that an additional matanos lev yonim.
I understand, but doesn't... again, I'm just trying to wrap my head around the idea that in big categories, Matanos Lev Yonim is not considered under the category of tzedakah.
It might be, but since it's very specific, so therefore kind of breaks loose of tzedakah and being, however you want to draw that line or the categories, it has somewhat of an independent nature to it as well from the fact that it's very goal-oriented. And Anim Rechayv as well, so therefore it warrants his own Shechianu. He can't break it completely loose from the concept of tzedakah, but it's broken enough whereby there are nafkaminas, whether it's going to be viewed as tzedakah or some simcha type of tzedakah. Okay, so the Be'er Halacha writes in number 7, a very important halacha here, that he quotes in the Baal Mor here, Minag ha'olam liten kodem perm, the practice of people, many of us give Matanos Lev Yonim earlier, before Purim. After Matanos Lev Yonim, mitzvah so dafka b'yom Purim, even though the mitzvah is only on the day itself, tzarech lomar da karchach nosin shtei Matanos Lev Yonim gam b'yom Purim. You should also give money on Purim itself, v'gam yesh har b'yonim hachozim al psachim b'Purim, and there is no shortage of people going around from door to door. So although many of us gave our Matanos Lev Yonim earlier, I know I personally gave money earlier. I tried to give as well on Purim itself. At least give two gifts to two aniyim that you see, or even to the rabbi. Give some money to him. It could be a smaller amount, just to fulfill that concept of those who think that it only works when you actually give it on Purim. Then again, he quotes in the Baal Mor, because if you give it earlier, there's a concern that maybe the aniyim might get use all the money up and not use it for the purpose of Purim and the Suda. Now it becomes very interesting here. They talk about since the days of when you should give it, the Dirshu discusses what happens if you send money to Chutzlah, to Eretz Yisrael. Many times they're collecting for Eretz Yisrael. So now Purim for them, and it's not yet for you. Let's say outside Yerushalayim, regularly Tel Aviv, it's Yudal, they're celebrating Purim. So now they give the Maos Matanos Lev Yonim on Yudal morning in Tel Aviv, but it's still nighttime here. So for them, it's a mitzvah of receiving the money, but for me, it's not a mitzvah yet to give it. Am I going to fulfill that mitzvah if they're giving it on a different day? We saw just before in the Be'er Halacha that you're supposed to give it dafka bayom on the daytime. So for me, it's not bayom just yet. So this is a discussion that's found, and the Dirshu discusses this, and the quote from the Stipler that says, a person is yotzei dechiv, you're yotzei dechiv, because the ikar mitzvah of Matanos Lev Yonim is to receive the money on the day of Purim, and therefore you are Yotze, but still nonetheless they bring a lichadchila. You should make sure, you should try if possible, to make sure to give the money when it's already a New York time, it's considered Purim. So I actually received an email, there's a person who emails me once in a while to collect money for a certain organization in Eretz Yisrael, and in this email he writes that we're going to be giving the money out at a time, at let's say at 4 o'clock in the afternoon, where it's going to be in New York, it'll already be after Nates, and you'll be chayv just for this chumrah, that'll be biyom for the giver, and it'll be yom for the mekabel. Now as you move a little further west, it must be some point in L.A. also, where it's still daytime, both in Eretz Yisrael and L.A., but I guess a little trickier, you have less time when you go further west at some point.
That's mamash chumrah, because it's matanos lev yonim, it's a mitzvah to give to the poor, it's not a mitzvah to give.
Yeah, no, for sure. But just to explain that other shita, in general it comes to tzedakah, So typically we think the purpose of tzedakah is for the aniyim, the mekabel.
Oh, that's true.
But there's a concept that also it's part of the notion, the giver.
Yeah.
What's the nafkamina? So let's say I want to give $1,000 for the year of tzedakah. So should I give it all at once? The mekabel is going to receive the same money, or should I give it $1 a day or $3 a day, let's say, to get to that 1,000? So the Rambam writes a person should give it $3 a day, break it up every single day. The reason is it regulates a person how to be involved in chesed. If you write one check and that's it, you haven't really trained yourself to do chesed. You give $3 a day, even though the bank account's going to be the same after the 12 months are over, you need to train yourself. So there is an element of the nosein being somewhat involved in this process as well, even though we really view it as the makabel, the nosein has a lot to gain from this process as well. So therefore, he should have some, maybe the daytime is of relevance to the nosein as well.
Yeah, maybe forgiving on the day.
Okay. Fine, let's skip the Klausenberg. The Klausenberg I mentioned already, he discusses this idea of the Suda, what everyone discussed here. You know, if it's for the Suda, it's actually better to give the money before and that they should prepare. So the Klausenberg is going back and forth in the Divrei Yetziv, whether you should give a Dafka on Perm or Dafka before Perm. That's a discussion that's down there.
What number is that?
That was number 8. A very interesting tshuva. I just quoted a few lines here if you want to take a look at it. But he's not sure which is better. Even within the Baal Mor, who thinks that Matanos Lev Yonim are for the purpose of a Suda, maybe it's taka better to give it before, and as we said, to have them give them time to properly prepare for the Suda. So that's all. That's the Shita of the Baal Mor and the Ravid, that the whole reason why we don't read any earlier is because the Aniyim are anticipating the day of Mikra Megillah, and they want their money. So now we're going to go move to the third Shita that's found in the Rif, as to what does it mean, hol mistaklin ba. This is the third shita. Again, the Gemara says, nowadays, bizman hazeh, we don't read any earlier, we only read on Yudal and Tezvav, hol mistaklin ba, since the someone are looking forward to the Megillah. So the Ravid quote, rather, the Rif quotes a different girsa. The girsa of the Rif is as follows, if you look at number 10. He says, Yesh gorsim, there are those who have the girsa of hol umistaknin. Was mistaken about those who are in danger, bisakana. That's his girsa. Ho mistaknin, he switches the lama of the nun, not mistaklin, but mistaknin, kolomar, beoso ha'es that time, shahayu yusol ma'midim dasayim vein ba'en lide sakana, hayu karnoso earlier. Earlier in times when we had our own, you know, we were in Eretz Yisrael and we had our own government, so there's no danger for us to practice and read Megillah. And therefore, you can read it on Yud Aleph, Yud Beis, Yud Gimel, Yud Aleph, Tezvav. But Bizman Hazeh, he goes on to explain, nowadays, since we don't live under our own ruling, we live elsewhere, it's dangerous for us to practice certain mitzvahs, and therefore we are not allowed to read any earlier, only in Yud Aleph, Tezvav. And the question is, what's the sakana here? Why does it make a difference? If there's a sakana, then we should never read it. So what's shot in the Rif here? Look at what the Ramban in his Milchemeth Hashem, that's his perish on the Rif. Look what he says. He says, I don't understand this pshat of the Rif here. And he quotes the Yushalmi, this is number 11. The Yushalmi says, quoting in the name of Rabbi Yossi, I b'makom shein misaknin lo yikaru kolikar. If it's really true that there's a sakana, so nobody should be reading Megillah. If someone's life is in danger, you shouldn't be performing the mitzvah of Mikra Megillah. That's the Shita of Rabbi Yossi that's found in the Yushalmi. So what's this pshat in the Rif? Because it's dangerous now, so we don't read on 11, 12, and 13, but we do read on 14 and 15. You shouldn't read at all. That's the kasha that the Ramban asks.
In groups, you're safer.
In groups, you're safer. No, either way, even 11, 12, 13, there's also going to groups. It's just not maybe as big groups. So look what the Ritva explains pshat. The Ritva says, number 12, he quotes those who are garis hol mistaken ba. He explains, Im anu korin b'chol hazmanim halalu, if we read on all these different days, the 11th and the 12th and the 13th and then the 14th and then the 15th, avsha milsa tuva, it's going to create a lot more, draw a lot more attention to us. Avsha milsa, it's going to be a greater fanfare. V'dilma, in light of this, gazu shmada ala levitule. And if we're celebrating for so many days long, so maybe that's going to entice them to create a shmad. And maybe the non-Jews are going to get angry at us, and that's going to cause them to mivatel perm. V'ein hakdama zu b'chiv. Because the idea of the Kfarim reading any earlier is not an obligation to do so. There's no chiv to read an earlier day. Elalakula Kfarim. It was a nice leniency we provided the Kfarim. It was a nicety we did for them. It wasn't a chiv for them to read them. So therefore, mutav shelo yakdimu, better that they don't read earlier, and possibly cause v'nevatel mehem takana, and might cause them to mivatel mishetavo kol mitzvah lidei bitul. So, right, what are the options here? If we let them read earlier the Kfarim, which is only a leniency to them, it's not a chiv, that might cause them to say no more reading at all. So better for us to remove that kula for them, limit it to only Yudal Tezvav, and not try to entice and instigate the goyim around us and preserve Megillah. So it wasn't dangerous, says the Ritva, but it was a tense times. And you never know what could really get them to make a gzera. So we wanted to limit the experience and the whole publicity of the mitzvah. So limiting the amount of the days was the way of preserving the Megillah. That's what it meant. That's how the Ritva explained. It wasn't a real sakana, but it could lead to a gzera from the goyim. That's pshat according to the Ritva. Now, the Miri says a similar thing, but he says a very interesting question. Look at the Miri number 13. He says the same idea. Vasonim, because explaining pshat, and what does it mean, mistakninba, that it's a sakana, vasonim misorim alem. The enemies are going to be awakened and upset over us, kishiroan olson masmidim besimcha, that we have so much simcha for 5 days straight. Al nikmasim. Remember, why are we celebrating Purim is because we defeated Haman and all the goyim. So now they say, wait a second, they're going to celebrate on this. So tiknu lehem, shlo farsim besimcha, b'yeser. So the Chum said, "Don't overlist or celebrate so many days. Minerai v'day b'shai. So just celebrate on that day. There's actually a Gemara in Gittin. Gemara in Gittin. That's in the stories of Kamsa bar Kamsa. Those Gemaras were allowed to read on Tisha B'Av because they're very sad. So one of the stories are that the I'm trying to remember, there's a few cases that are very similar, but there's one city that was supposed to get destroyed by Caesar because, I might be confusing two of the stories there, but one of the stories is that they used to plant a different type of tree when a boy was born and when a girl was born. A cedar and some other type of tree, a pine tree maybe, and when the two would get married, they'd cut down the trees and then make a chuppah out of this. And one time the Roman chariot was driving and broke down. So they saw a pine tree there. They cut down the pine tree and fixed it and put a board in to fix the wagon. So the people of the town got very upset that they cut down the tree of one of their children, and they jumped on top of the chariot and they killed the people. And then the word got to Caesar, and he sent down a whole massive amount of troops to destroy the city. And somehow along the way, he decided not to. He turned back. Caesar says, turn around. Then he heard that they got so excited, the Jews were so happy that they're celebrating that they were saved, and they were so lit up that he was a mile away. He could see his ring lit up from all the candles they were lighting up in the city. He got so upset and went back and destroyed the entire city. So we see that in history, this happened, that you can't get too excited for defeating or at least avoiding defeat from the non-Jews. It gets them even more upset, understandably. So therefore, since it's celebrating the defeat of Haman, we wanted to limit the amount of days we celebrate Purim. That's what the Miri says. So he asks a great question. What about Hanukkah? Hanukkah we celebrate for 8 days long, and we defeated the Hashmonaim, defeated the Yevonim. So how come that's a celebration for 8 days? So he says, right, to look at his answer is,
different celebration.
He says, the Simcha of Hanukkah is going to Al Nei Shemin Ha'isa V'lo Ani Tzuach Ha'ayvim. It wasn't about the defeat. Yeah, there was a certain element of the defeat. And according to the Miri himself, actually writes in Shabbos, the famous question, why was there a celebration day one? There's enough oil for day one. There's no celebration. That was what they found. So the Miri writes, because day one was when they defeated the Yevanim. So day one of Hanukkah is a celebration of the defeat. But the remaining 7 days is a celebration of the Nei Shemen. And it's not an 8-day celebration of the victory. And that's why that is not a kasher from Hanukkah. Okay. So that's all pshat. That's all in the Nigla. This is the Miri and the Ritva of the sakana of why, because the sakana, they limited it to only 2 days. They didn't want to bring too much attention to the celebration of Purim. The Sfas Emes Al Shas, he brings in something very interesting. It's not Nister, but it's a very more Hasidish approach to what does it mean to there being a sakana and therefore be limited to 1 day of reading. What the Sfas Emes says is as follows, and we'll finish with this piece. Sfas Emes says the reason why Bizman is we only read on Yudal and Tesvav in light of the Sakana is because he quotes, I'm reading just the bold here, V'gam hevi ha-girsa hol mustaknaba. He quotes this girsa of that's a dangerous for us. And then he writes further in the bold, the achshav nowadays, shebeis ha-migdash charav, that the beis ha-migdash is destroyed. V'ein Yisrael shruin al admasan, we're no longer living in our homeland. V'aydei kriyas ha-megillah, mochkin yeser ha-koach shenishar. By the reading of the Megillah, we are erasing the leftover strength that's from Amalek. Each year when we read the Megillah, we are erasing the shame of Amalek. That's how we're Mechias Amalek. Mechias Amalek is by learning, by reading the Megillah in particular, we erase the name of Amalek. In fact, if I remember correctly, there's a Toras Kohanim, and the Rabbi explains on the Toras Kohanim in Medrash, that the idea, the way Bizman is there, we're Mekai Mechias Amalek, is by reading Parsha Zachar. Sfas Emes says by reading Kriyas Megillah, by reading is the way you're accomplishing Mechias Amalek. Just to add further, a few days ago, those learning Daf Yomi, there was a simon in the Gemara, the mnemonic. Sometimes the Gemara uses different letters to tell you the upcoming sugyas, the Rashi tables of the upcoming sugyas. So in Bav Basra last week, one of the Rashi tables was Amalek. It said Ayin Mem Lamed Kuf, the next four sugyas coming up. I forget what they stand for. So the Chassam Sofer asks, why are we using Amalek's name? We're trying to erase the name. Why are we adding the name Amalek to the Gemara? So the Chassam Sofer says, if I remember correctly, that by using Amalek for Torah learning, that's the best way to erase them. So we have this concept of learning Torah, and particularly learning about them and using them as a vehicle for Torah is the best way for Mechias Amalek. So now, says the Sfas Emes, nowadays where there's no longer a base of Migdash, and we're no longer in Eretz Yisrael, and the reading of the Megillah is about erasing, the purpose is to erase the name of Amalek, therefore, he writes, jumping now to the last bold in this Sfas Emes, Lechach Trichim, therefore we need, Al Kopanim Koach Asifas Yisrael B'yachad. We need a greater Berov Am. That's why there's an Inya Pirsum Anisa. We need a larger Tzibor, no small Minyanim here. The more people, the better. So if we have everyone dispersed on the 11th and 12th and 13th, that's worse. We need to come together, the Tzibor. That gives us a greater Koach. V'lechach, therefore, ein hakfarim makdimim lekros ba'atman. We don't want the people of the village leaving the reading earlier. What's the sakana? Sakana is not the goyim. The sakana is Amalek. The koach of Amalek is the danger. So how do we protect ourselves? By having a greater amount of people together. Berov am hadras melech. Not having people splintering off on different days and different minyanim. All together, but the asifas Yisrael together b'yachad, that gives us the greatest koach to defend against Amalek.
Are we saying we're supposed to refine Amalek, rehabilitate Amalek, as opposed to blot it out?
No.
It sounds like we're not supposed to take the when it comes to the you have Yetzirah. We're not supposed to destroy the Yetzirah. We're supposed to reform it, refine it, you know, bring it over to do. Are we supposed to, same concept with Amalek?
It's a very good point. It's, you know, kind of sounds like that. I don't know in practice what that means. You know, by Yetzirah, you know, what Ben's trying to say is that, what he is saying, is that a person has a certain midah. You can't get rid of the midah. If a person is angry, let's say, so that use it for something positive. A person's a shochet, the Gemara says. He's a, whatever that idea is, that midah is, you channel it to something good. To get rid of that midah is almost impossible. A therapist will tell you that. Sometimes it needs to be. Sometimes you just channel in the right area. And that seems to be the best way to fight with the Yetzirah as well. So in light of this, what Ben is saying is that the idea of the Amalek, using Amalek somehow, using them for good, for positive. So again, this part becomes part of a larger concept of and discussion whether Amalek is a nation or whether it's a theology of some sort, ideology. So if it's an ideology, using them, I don't know how that works, but using them for good would be the best way to combat them. Again, I don't know enough about Amalek, but I think it's...
Amalek doesn't sound like that. It sounds like it's almost like Arlo, that it's something that needs to be, you know, cut off,
right,
destroyed.
But remember, it's brought down in Shulchan Aruch, the idea that they would write Amalek in the bottom of their foot and then step on it. So you write the name to destroy it. So you write Amalek to use it for Torah, which is a way of destroying it. You kind of, it's like a layup or like a tennis serve. You lay them up there and just...
That sounds more like trying to refine it.
It could be.
Use it for good. Trying to, you know, turn its nature into something that's not something.
I agree. And which might be the case, according...